My name is Lázaro Cárdenas. I'm in the house of Mr. Joe Garza, the brother of the founder of the LULACs in 1929, who is going to tell us some of his experiences and what brought about the formation of the LULACs. Mr. Garza, are you native to Nueces County?
No, I was born in Aransas County, Rockport.
Were the conditions of the Mexican Americans, say, before 1930, were they pretty bad? Were they similar to the American Negro or not?
They couldn't have been the worst. I was raised in a so-called Mexican school.
Mexican school.
Yes. Rockport was a little town of maybe 1,000 population. And my father died when I was 3, so my old mother was a widow of 6 children to raise. So she had to do a lot of washing, taking in washing, in order for us to eat and live. Just had the bare necessities. I had to shine shoes. I started doing that when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. But she made us all go to school. Then she was washing clothes from sun up to sundown for $1, $1.50 a day. With that, we ate every day. That money she made. A few pence we brought in, me, shining shoes, and my brother, Ben Garza, doing something else. We all took the same but we got by. But my schooling was very, very bad. I started school in this Mexican school. I was on the brush, one big room, one teacher, 40 to 50 kids. From the first grade to the 11th grade, because at that time there was only 11th grade. So it was quite a struggle for me to be raised under those circumstances that half a dozen blocks away, I could see a big two-story brick building where all the so-called Anglos and the kids attended the school, but no Mexicans at all. All the Mexicans were crowded into this one big room and one teacher. The grades from the first grade to the 7th to 8th. And so, you can just imagine one teacher without any kids. But I managed to finish that school. And then was promoted to the other school. There was no, they didn't have school for one Mexican only. So they had to put me with the so-called whites. We were raised to keep our place. And to feel inferior. You may raise with a complex. And that's hard to overcome in life, being raised with a complex. But I was able to overcome that enough to graduate. And that school was the only one at that time, 1917. The only Mexican to graduate from that school. There was 8 girls and 2 boys. And the night of the graduation exercise, even then I was discriminated. I was the last one to be given the diploma. And everybody was surprised that a Mexican had during the Brahma, whereby their presence, that means goodness to people, their so-called making people their fault. Anyway, those were the circumstances that was born. It was hard, very hard. When I finished school, before I finished school, the last 6 months, the teacher in Mexico school had to move to San Antonio, so they needed someone to take her place. Nobody wanted to take her place in this Mexico school. So it prevailed on me to take it over, which I had kept when I still have, you know, 6 months to go to graduate. I was in high school then, and I had to keep my place there too. So every time I mingled with them was when I played ball, because I was considered for the ball play. But inside I had to keep my place. You know, I told them, how can I teach at the same time finish? I said, well, you're good night, you can with them. Mrs. Smee was home at night, you can with Mrs. Cox. Mrs. So-and-so. Study the lessons that your class goes over during the day, and you can pick that up at night. But all right, so that particular examination state, I got my second grade certificate to teach elementary grade. So I was put as a teacher in this so-called Mexican school. Mine was about 40, 45 kids, all sizes, from 7, 8 up to 16 or 18, because at that time I was almost 20 years old when I finished high school. So that was with that many kids, and studying at night to keep up with my class. And all that handicap that I had, I still prevailed and was able to graduate in my class. I was paid $45 a month, I think, as a teacher. To teach on January, February, March, and April, May. So I taught my last 5 months in my high school. I taught that same in school. That today does not exist in Rockport. It's not existing around this past of Greenwood. To a certain extent, it's Maya still exists. We haven't had any problem yet. It still exists, but in comparison, we're 100% better off than we were when I was a young man.
What factors do you think have brought this improvement for the Mexican American people?
Union, the organization that were formed in this state, primarily in Texas, to help the situation, help improve the situation. We didn't have the professions of men at all. But we had a few teachers, as far as doctor, architect. So, but the idea came to several at the same time to form different organizations. The movement started about 1924. One organization was the Sons of America that was mostly here in San Antonio. And another one was the Loyal Sons of America that was mostly in the Valley. And the other was the, I forget, it was down the Laredo district. So San Antonio, Corpus Christi, around the valley, Laredo, was the beginning of this movement. Not El Paso, El Paso came in Laredo. Houston was what came in about 20 years ago. But I'm talking about way back in 1920. 24, 25. I was a young man, I must have been about 28 years old. So these three or four organizations, each one were aiming for the same purpose. We tried to better the lot of it for Michigan, more in Crow, to improve his education. The facilities, better teachers, better schools, and to do away with this discrimination. So they all were aiming for the same purpose. So the idea came that they should merge. So they tried to merge. They had a big convention in Arlington, 1928, and they failed because of the mixing people, the trade. His tendency to be a jealous thing. It's a shame that to admit that, but that is true. I don't know whether you have ever encountered it or not. I have. I know it's true. That's a jealous thing. It's what kept us down through the years. We're not together. We're very, very I don't know how to say, but if I see you go up the ladder and I don't like you, I just hate to see you go up that ladder and be higher than I am. Instead of being proud, I'm not. And I've seen that time and time and time again. That's your Mexican trait, and that's practice. And Mexicano in the Southwest, when I say Southwest, I mean from here to California. If we were all together, it would be different. We all want to be chiefs. Somebody wants to be Indian. And that's behind trouble. You think the Jewish. You see how strong they are. Just a small nation. And they got the money. They got the courage. They got the strength. But they don't fight one another. They stay together. Even the Negro has a better chance than we have as far as being together in their aims and purposes to better their lot. But what hurts us is this jealousy that runs
most of us. Well, do you think this trait is part of the Mexican character? Or do you think?
Yes, it comes from the mixture that the Spanish is very vengeful. And the mixture of that learned with the Indian that made the Indian very the Indian is very militaristic. The blending of those two bloods together that made it I don't know it's the transfer itself. I blame that for but what we are. Anyway, my brother finally took over. Late Ben Gordon, who died in 1937, he got these leaders who were jealous. They didn't want to give up their position as presidente of the Loyal Sons of America, the presidente of the other organization, the other one. No, they didn't want to do the name credit. El Valle teníamos a Tafoya, licenciado Tafoya, big man. Don Roy, Lozano, those three men, I played their first name. En la Vega teníamos Hidal, Clemente, Hidal, who was a very, very smart man. He was a leader in the area of Abel, labor movement, smart man. San Antonio, we had Tafoya, we had MC Gonzalez, and we had others in San Antonio, okay, and I can't. Thank you. Oh, yeah, in Alice, we had the Licenciado Perales. You've heard of him. He was a lawyer. And we had a newspaper man there in Alice, too. I think of his name now. We had a newspaper man here, but he was a Marine. So my brother got all these pens. Again, they had filled the year before because of jealousy. And jealousy. My brother got them together in February 1929. Got them together here at the convention after 2 or 3 days of squabbling, arguing, and finally agreeing to marriage. Out of that came my brother being elected the first presidente in Arabia, Sylvia Mallow. So that was just here in Texas. MC Gonzalez, returning from San Antonio, vice president in Arabia. And the treasurer and the secretary were from here. It was Puebla and Andres de Luna. And with the seed was planted here. Lula. The music of the United States in 1906. The time was we weren't called for duty service at all, not even petty jury, much less grand jury. And schools were segregated. I was in 29. Andre, I was 7 years old. They were wanted to. She was told that she had to go to the Mexican school. I used to tell when he passed a TV station on La Pan and Northeastern, I used to tell them that was the Chechen Mexican school. The most popular tunnels, I was at 29. They wanted my brother to live there. I lived on Waco Street. I said, no. She didn't want to go there. She's going to go over there and go there. Come on. Yeah, it's going to put a ring. Come on. Había mexicanos que vivían ahí en Batacuara, como los compas. Morales. González. They had to walk all the way down to 16 feet. And Joe Gibbons was just there across their street. And the they had to go to the school. So I was one of the first to fight that part of it.
This was in 1929.
Because I knew what it was to be raised in the Mexican school, understand? And they finally gave in and accepted my girl in Georgia. My girl, my daughter, went to Georgia. I didn't want her to go to what I want. See, after I finished school, finished teaching in 1917, I went into the service. In the service, I was integrated for the first time. I was in the same tent as the Anglo. To me, it was something out of this world. I hadn't been taught to be. I hadn't been taught to keep my faith. But there, for the first time in my life, I became integrated during the First World War. So, I was about 2.5 years. And I came out of there. I didn't want to go back to Rockport. I couldn't forget the way I had been raised. So, I moved to San Antonio. Went to work for San Antonio Drug Company there. I stayed there until 1922 when I married a wife there. And then we moved the same week to Corpus to work for my brother, the gardener who owned a big restaurant downtown. That was in 1922. He had come up in the ranks too. He only went to seventh grade in order to work and help my mother keep me in school and my sisters. He had seventh grade. Leader then, both in numbers and in money. Numbers and in money. They cannot gain anything by violence. We never have been violent. The only way we can get there is through good understanding by mixing with them and giving them the information about our problems and trying to get them to see it our way and work it out with us. That's the answer. It's forcing them. We won't succeed. As I said, that what we've done in the life through these years has been through peaceful means. Sometimes we couldn't win it. By sitting together around the table, we'd go to court. We've gone to Supreme Court several times to win our cases, and school cases. There's a lot to make it finance. All of us, my own or key in death, to know and live algo out of the institutions of those live in GR form. Others who are trying to develop a lot of people.
So you think all the Mexican American that have what we would say that have got it made now, that have a good job, they should help.
Sure.
They should help the rest of our people.
Sure.
Because in a way, like you say, these organizations of 1929 and the hard work of all these people actually made it possible for them to make it.
You know what? If you got a little more time there, I'll show you some difference. Lara from KC, from KUNO, forget his first name. This happened about 80 years ago. And every time we have a gathering, social gathering, like last Monday we were near his home for a party, political party. So Lyra was there, I was there, and Dr. Rudy Garza from Mexico was there, but he lives here. He's an American citizen now. I don't know him, he's a young man. Estella Cecil Rodriguez, he's a young attorney. And Lyra said, every time I see this man, say something of what I heard this man say that made me so proud of him. Él tiene dos hijos. Yo lo vi ahí en el City Hall, un día había junta en el City Council, y a veces ahí había asiento como para unos 100 personas, o maybe less. Y ese día había como unos 40, y estamos allí, así como de tu edad. Todos eran profesionales. Ahí está Margarita Garza, ahí está Gil Garza, ahí está Oscar García, y todos los hombres de esta casa. sabía cómo fue. Estábamos ahí, ellos estaban ahí protestando la discriminación que había en los buses, los drivers, sirvas. Y el mayor era Perman, el mayor y una mamá al lado de Perman. Entonces, oh man. Y ahí estaba el mexicano, era de León y Maldonado, los otros eran años. Y estos muchachos aquí allá estaban sentados, eran como 30 o 40, todos diciéndoles la misma cosa, que la discriminación, y los cansan, y el viejo forma, el mayor, diciendo que no. Y yo estaba escuchando, y yo estaba diciendo, I'm going there to listen. And I was nobody. When I heard all of that, I got up. I said, that then it's true. I said, Dr. Perman, you and I are about the same age. You're the mayor in this city. But you and I are about the same age. And we've been in Corpus about the same years, maybe 50 years, maybe 60 years. You come from the old school, doctor. From the old school that believed a Mexican was a good Mexican, as long as he kept his place. You and your councilmen have been denying that there's discrimination in the hiring and the advancement of these men in your bus system. You've been denying that. You know, Dr. Furman, that you, in your heart, you know, as well as I know, that you started. I don't know how you feel now, but I know at that time, you were one of the ones that kept us down. At that time, I was a man of about 30 years old. I came here when I was about 26. And at that time I was young, we were not prepared. We didn't have any professional need at all. You all kept it from the juries, you all kept it from the schools, you kept it from Mexican schools. You didn't allow us to go to picture show together. That's the way you were one of the ones that a part of the establishment in Corpus Christi at that time, and you know it. We weren't prepared to do anything at that time because we didn't have the preparation. We didn't have the men. We didn't have the professional men. So we took it lying down. But these men here, all of them, 30 or 40 here, see, doctor, all these men are professional men. It's like you're a doctor, they're professionals too. Each one has a profession. Each one is a college man. They're not going to take it lying down like they did. The time will come. I hope I won't be here to see it, but time might come, but we will have violence because these men are not going to take it like we did. You should know something about it. You should do something about it. You know what your right hand is doing, but you don't know what your left hand is doing. The trouble lies on your department heads. They're the ones who's giving us trouble, your department heads. They're the ones from need. They're the ones that won't give up boys and girls that chance of advancement or that job. But you're not doing it. Didn't think about it. And I, as a citizen, I beg of you to look into it. You and your council, Mr. Teo and Tosa, but it's a decent. Lara dice, yo nunca había oído un hombre decirle su precio con tantos. So
that really has helped helped the Mexican American people in having all these lawyers, doctors, and all these people that don't have to depend on the Anglo for a livelihood has really made it possible. Do you really think that also helped Mr. Ben Garza, that the fact that he was a businessman and he didn't have to depend on an Anglo, that he could get this thing going?
He was in business. He was a restaurant. He had a restaurant business downtown next to Cressis. You know, Chaparral.
Yes.
You know what Cressis is? Mm-hmm. The building south of it belongs to his widow now, today. Ahí tenía un restaurante muy grande, el hermano mío y un compañero de él, Benavides. Yo le trabajaba a él. So they became independent, they became wealthy. This man Benavides is my brother. El negocio era con puro anglo. El mexicano no iba a la calle a comer porque solo se hacía, se apartaba. That was aquí in 1922. We closed the door there in 1932 during depression. Ben got sick and he died 5 years later. Él murió de TB aquí en Curva. But then in those years, in 1920, when he opened the restaurant, in 5 years' time, he made enough to buy the property. My man, he was independent and he could. That was in 1922, pretty soon we were in the money. Going up.
Well, would you say then your daughter was the first to integrate schools in Corpus Christi?
One of the first.
One of the first. That was the first.
I hear that there was one or two of us already there in that school. Mm.
Yes, but it was.
She was one of the first.
But really, this segregation was not state policy, it was local.
No. It wasn't a policy. It wasn't done by the government. It was done by
school board.
The policy of the school board all over the state. Mm. All over the state. They're only here. Seven Rock Point. Estaba aquí en Corpus, que era pueblo de 10,000 people. Mm. What do you expect on a bird like Rockport when you had 800 or 900 or 1,000 people? Worst people. I was taught to pick off my tent every time I Mr. Smith Johnson came by. Answered. So I wondered what was wrong with me at that time. As if I was some sort of plague. I used to go to Nuevo Laredo, Matamoros with my mother, my sister, my brother, and Ben, who were small. And I used to see nothing but saloons and cantinas, you know, dance halls and gambling. And you know how I did down the border. I would come back with a feeling that if that was Mexico, no wonder could it be a land of Inatatal. Really, that was nothing to be proud of. It was enough that I became a man. After I came out of World War, and I started traveling into Mexico and from the period that I found out really about Mexico, I'm traveling. I traveled for the world, but I traveled to the old Mexico. And it was there when I became proud of my heritage. Understand? And it's hard the way the census history that we're talking about, the way it's taught today, it's not as bad as it used to be. It's bad. I was taught that one Anglo could put 10 Mexicanos. That's what I was taught. I was not taught that Savala had been the place where I'd been. I was not taught the part that's the end, things in the independence of Osiris or Savala. Of the leaders, that if you go to this building and stand in front of you, you will see something that you haven't read and think in your history. Because it will come out. But it's a shame that the Texas history has been so slammed that it has produced kids que no saben hablar español ni son más fieles que yo. And that's bad. That's why we're pushing bilingual. We're pushing that. And it's bad when you see them. Un muchacho mexicano, 6 or 8 años, más prieto que yo. You see the cuarterón, you might say, o japonés, o filipino, o indio. No es mexicano porque no habla en español. Él es mexicano, pero el papá y la mamá se avergüenzan. Understand? Because they have been traveling to Mexico. They were taught Texas history like I was taught, but they haven't traveled into Mexico to see what Mexico really is, to see our heritage, our beginning, our forefathers, what they went through, and they have their own history that we don't know until we go there and see it. And then when we come back, muy cambiados, no orgullosos. Que tenemos sangre mexicana. Primero seamos americanos, yo, primero americano que nací aquí, mi deber es esta bandera y lo probé en la primera guerra, pero en mi corazón, mi sangre, yo me hay orgulloso de mis padres, which I didn't when I was a kid, because I wasn't raised that way. Okay? Yes, it's a shame that this Texas history is still slandered, and it should be, because it just produces kids of our own that, well, I met 3 kids last night. Llama S.A.O. Osaro. El Sam Osaro. He's a retired Navy man. He's about 50 some odd. His wife, daughter, the 3 girls, son, Triganitas. Color mío, no saben ni una palabra en español. Es que ellos eran, y yo, es a shame that you people are raising these kids. Well, you are. Porque son muy mexicanos at heart. And it's a shame that you're denying these kids the language of your father and mother. It makes me mad when I see something like that. And it is because of people haven't traveled to Mexico, haven't read Mexican history, haven't seen Mexico, they're not proud. I mean, they're not proud, understand, of their forefathers. They know they came from Mexico. You know that. Or the mixture of Spanish and Mexican, or pure Indian, or pure Spanish. En México hay tú mucho español. Y le dices tú, pero pues usted, pues usted es mexicano, pero español. Azul, en blanco, ojos azules. Yo soy puro mexicano. Pero él le dice todo mexicano en español. It's already planted in there. And it's something great to see when you travel over there and to see by the history of Mexico. If you haven't done that, you should one of these days, and you'll be proud.
You think that the Mexican American is a shame of his heritage, or of the people, because of the Anglo, the way they have created history?
Sure.
That they have...
They're to blame for our low economy, our dropouts, they're to blame for our poor school system. We get the poorest of everything. The teachers are not up to par. The materials to work with, the schools, not up to date. Now you see that much more in small communities, much more. Siquiera en pueblos como aquí en Corpus, understand? Houston, Brownsville, Laredo, no necesita defenderse, because they never had a problem. Instead, they're very active in New Life, but they don't need New Life. New Life needs them. Yeah. I don't need New Life. I have made my point. I'm not a rich man. But what little I have obtained, I owe it all to New Life. Okay. But towns like San Antonio, towns like Alice, Kingsville, they're fighting their own, they have learned to fight their own battles. Sounds like Austin. But what you're going to do with those little towns in between, there's where we still have the trouble, like in Republican and Sinton, and Wharton, but to Sugarland. He knew those things. Well, the Puerto, Gonzales, Seguin, you find the problem that still the Mexican has to keep his place. He's not treated like I was treated 55 years ago, 60 years ago, and I was not allowed to mingle with them. You can mingle with them in schools now because we have that state law about segregation. But that's about all. But as far as giving that individual attention, it's not given them. And as far as implementing this bilingual program of which we were pushing so much, understand? We want our kids to know where they come from. Understand? Because if we don't, in years to come, we will lose sight of where the people come from. Understand? And they will feel ashamed. A lot of them feel ashamed of talking Spanish, even if they do know Spanish. I've seen it myself, and it makes me so mad that if I can get all of their necks and, you know, be able to do something about it, I would. It makes me so mad for somebody to deny their heritage, their, you know, their beginning. Father and mother.
Yes,
sir. Nomás porque llegaron a... Aquí tenemos muchos que tienen ahorita casas de 25, 30, 40 mil pesos que were raised in Westport. I know them. But since I've been out here at that man, oh, with jobs like that, Reynolds Plant, they're making a lot of money, have been making for the past 10, 15 years. They're now out of there, and they're now living out here in homes that are $25,000, $35,000, $40,000. Now, those people are the ones that we have trouble with. They're in position to help us with our problems, but they don't. They'd rather associate with Mrs. Smith and Mr. Jones next door than to go to a little like meeting or a GI Forum, and the GI Forum has done a tremendous job, or to go to some social gathering that would do some good to improve or to push this bilingual program, or to socialize and try to get the Anglo to see our what we're trying to do, understand, to get the cooperation, because we know, you know, that they have the upper hand.